Turning now in the scriptures to 1 John chapter 3. And we're reading this evening verses 22 and 23. 1 John 3 verses 22 to 23. We're continuing from where it said last Lord's Day in verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." We're continuing from there. But before we go to the Lord and hear Him speak to us through the reading and preaching of His Word, let us go to Him in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word once again. Thank You that You have provided life for us through it and by Your Spirit. We thank You this evening that of Your book from 1 John, which is for the very purpose of assuring us of our salvation that we have, giving us confidence in the faith that You have given as a gift and the grace You have showered upon us, and the fruit that You've worked in our lives, even the Spirit who is present with us. Father, make it plain to us once again of how we are Your people, if we are Your people. But also make it plain, if we are not Your people, that we are not Your people, if it is indeed true. And bring us unto Yourself through salvation in Christ alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 22 and 23, these are the words of God. "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us." And that is the word of the Lord. The Lord makes to us, His people, great promises, and here is no different. We are given a promise which guarantees great blessing to us, His people. The promise and guarantee for the child of God is that whatever we ask, we receive from Him. It is that confidence before God that we have because our heart does not condemn us, verse 21, that leads us to do what? To pray. Confidence before the Lord, as we heard last Lord's Day, leads us to pray, to prayer, to talking to the Lord and praising His name, lifting up our requests unto Him. We also learn here that the Lord desires to be pleased with His people. For those who keep His commandments, they are pleasing in His sight. That is a good thing. And so if we do that which is pleasing in His sight, what will He not do for us in giving us what we ask for? What will you not receive of what you ask? As we look at the text, the first thing we're called to is to keep God's commandment. Keep God's commandment. It is the prerequisite of what we find in the promise. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him. And so we look first at that. Verse 22, the middle of the verse, it says, "We keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us." There's a similar verse found in John's Gospel, chapter 8, of pleasing the Father. There Jesus speaks and says, "He who sent Me," that is the Father, "is with Me. He has not left Me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Jesus Christ always does what is pleasing to the Father. And being in union with Christ, God's children do as Christ does. They keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in the Father's sight. In John 8, thinking of Jesus as pleasing the Father in all things, we know these words of Jesus concerning that are for our benefit. Even in a trying moment, a moment of trial, these words He expresses are a comfort. A comfort He takes as He is going to the cross being in view. What does it mean to do the things that are pleasing in His sight? It is simply to keep His commandments. Keeping Yahweh's commandments is doing that which is pleasing in His sight. Jesus has forever kept all of God's commandments. How are you, then, to please the Father and keep His commandments? You are to do that which Christ does and has done for you. You do it through what He has done for you. How do we keep His commandments? Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ working in you by His Spirit who is present in your heart. And what are the commandments? It is narrowed down when you get to verse 23 to a commandment. In other words, we might say it is summarized. And we can see that in other parts of Scripture that here it is summarized. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as He commanded us. So this one commandment, it contains two parts, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and that we love one another. And if we think clearly about this, this is how Jesus summarized the whole of the Old Testament. The whole of the Law and the Prophets all summarized in these two parts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's Jesus' summary of the Ten Commandments. Elsewhere, when it says to love your neighbor as yourself or love one another, it says that it is a summary of the Law. Here the Lord John uses the phrases, believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another in the same command. And the command to believe is a command to begin to believe and continue to believe. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continue to believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. The name of the full divine revelation of the divine Son of God. What must you do to keep His commandment and do that which is pleasing in the sight of God? You first must believe in the name of His Son. Who is His Son? Who is the Son? Looking back, we'll look at John's Gospel primarily, because here is John writing after he wrote the Gospel, so we have a good context. The Son of God is that one who is testified about. He is the King of Kings, the King of Israel. He is the great I Am, as we see many times in the Gospel of John. He is Yahweh. He is the one at the burning bush who said, I am that I am. The Son of God is He who has come into the world, which means He is God Himself. He is the Creator before all creation. As He said in John 1, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Son of God is He who speaks, and the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear live. Those who hear believe in Him. And of course, this verse is similar to what we find at the end of the Gospel of the purpose of the book. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. But in 1 John, the concern is not so much with the need to be saved. We know the purpose is a little different than that. It is written directly, rather, to those who have been saved, to those who have believed, that they would know that they have life. That they would know that they have assurance of salvation. They know that they have salvation. And so they are enabled even more so to keep the commandments of God. But the warning is also there in the Gospel to those who do not believe. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You are to believe in the Son of God who is God Himself, Yahweh, the eternally begotten Son of the Father, of whom it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. But you're not just to believe in the Son, but in the name of the Son, whose name is Jesus. As it says here, Jesus the Savior, His name means salvation. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. This name was His because that was His mission. As Jesus had an earthly ministry, He is God, and yet as Philippians shows, though He was in the form of God, He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As His name is Jesus, we know He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And so as Jesus was born in the likeness of men by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he is thus God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And being born in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death on the cross, he was buried. The Lord Jesus was buried, having been, as the high priest, offering up himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God. He made atonement for all the sins of those who would believe in his name, and so he is thus called Jesus, Savior. Even now, having been raised from the dead, now exalted to the right hand of the Father, Titus 3 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness of and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And all of you who hear, you and your sins, condemnation is waiting at the door for you. Know what it is that book of Acts says. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is indeed a true shepherd and teaches his sheep to rest upon Jesus alone as upon one that is not dead, but has conquered death and has all rule in his own hands. There's no other man, no other power, no other authority at all compared to him that is comparable to him. We must believe in the name of the Son of God. His name is Jesus. But then he uses another word to describe him, that is Christ. He is the Christ. That is, he is the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. It calls our attention to his exalted position. This is Jesus' title, his office. And we see how important it is to know that Jesus is the Christ. For chapter 2, we heard, who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Later we'll hear in chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. This is the Christ, the Messiah, promised from the beginning, the seed of the woman, crushing the head of the serpent. Christ has already won the victory over Satan and all evil through his death and resurrection. He is the fulfillment of all the promises found in the Scriptures. He is the seed of Abraham, the prophet like unto Moses, the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's the root, the stem of Jesse. He's Emmanuel, the suffering servant, the branch, the messenger of the covenant, even that we heard this morning. This is he of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote. He's the great deliverer, the anointed one, the King, the Savior of men. As the Christ, he was divinely appointed and commissioned as the Redeemer. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We must believe, we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. But the second greatest commandment, Commandments 5 through 10 is summed up in this, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Here it says in 1 John, love one another. Jesus says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Believing in Jesus Christ, loving the Lord with all your being, with your whole being, means that we must obey his commands to love one another. A justifying faith leads to continuing faith. A continual love, not only for God, but for our neighbor. Love one another. Continue to love one another. And that we have, in some ways, already covered. We are to love as Christ loved us and gave himself, sacrificing himself for us. So, beloved, you are to keep God's commandment by faith and love. by believing in the only name under heaven by which we must be saved, but not only saved for a moment, unto eternity, but by which we are kept secure for all eternity, in love, loving one another. The evidence that we know that we are kept secure for all eternity. Scripture says, as we've already heard in the gospel and in this letter, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Very similar passage to the one we're looking at from John's Gospel. You have faith in Jesus Christ the Son, you will face hostility in this world. You love one another, love your enemies. You will face hostility from this world, just as Jesus faced it when he was here serving you. And so he prepared the way for you. You are to be prepared for this way yourselves. But also know that if they hate you, the world hates you, really they are hating Jesus Christ, God himself. Keep the commandment. Secondly, now as we've been called to keep God's commandment, we're shown we are to do this so that we might be able to ask and receive. Ask and receive is the second point. We're to keep Yahweh's commandments, do what is pleasing in his sight, that is, love God, love your neighbor. And if you do so, verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from him. Whatever you ask, you receive from him. Notice it isn't a future tense there. Whatever you ask, you will receive from him. It's more definite than that. Whatever you ask, you receive from him. John is repeating the words Jesus spoke to the disciples in John 14. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, keeping his commands. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What a promise that is to us, God's people. Whatever we continue to ask for, we receive from God. In the context of verse 23, what does this mean? It means first to ask according to the will of God. That's why it said in John 14, asking in his name. Asking by him who is the Word, by his Word. Asking according to the will of God in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. We've covered that obviously before in John's Gospel. Asking for that which is in accordance with the will of God, the Word of God, the Scriptures. Because it is that which shows forth the nature of God, and we are to be following after that. And we cannot ask God to go against his own nature, can we? Because he will not do so. The Word also shows what his will is, and what he's promised to us. As we go through the Scriptures, the Psalms, and we have in prayer meeting, prayers that we see throughout the Scriptures, that we've seen even this evening in Isaiah. And as we see these prayers over and over throughout the Scriptures, what do we see that is common amongst all of them? They're praying the Word of God. They're praying the promises of God. And that which we know without doubt is the will of God. The desire and plan of God. And so we already know if we ask for it, we receive it in Him. We are to pray, to ask according to the will of God. The promise is certain because God keeps His Word. God cannot go against His own nature, which He reveals to you in His Word and His promises. Chapter 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So we've asked the question before, does the Lord answer any possible request that we might ask of him? And the answer is no. He does. You will not receive exactly what you request. Always. But only those pleas, only those askings, only those prayers in which you ask according to the will of God, according to his word, according to his plan, and for his glory. There's another aspect, if we think of verse 23, about this asking, this prayer, of which we receive from him. Verse 23, loving one another in our prayers. If we are to live in accordance with the commandments toward our neighbors, and honoring them and loving them and having right thoughts and interactions with them, and respecting what God has given to them, what God has given to us for use in glorifying him and helping others and in honesty, then we will pray that we will keep the commandments of God toward our neighbors. We'll pray that in view of them, in view of our love for them. We would pray that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. One commentator brings out a helpful thought to us. He says, the command of Christ should be continually before our eyes. Christian love must possess our soul when we go to God in prayer. To this end, we must remember that our Lord obliges us first to forgive those who offend us, Matthew 6, and second to reconcile ourselves to those whom we have offended, Matthew 5. As goodwill to men was proclaimed from heaven, so goodwill to men, and particularly to the brethren, must be carried in the hearts of those who go to God and heaven in prayer. And asking for such things in accordance with loving our neighbor before the Lord, surely you will receive. And so, beloved, you are called here in this passage once again to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, to love God, to love one another, all that we think and say and do would be pleasing in his sight, even unto the glory of the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here, that it would be glorifying to the Son, Jesus Christ, who is our God and Savior. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the confidence that you have given us. And in our hearts, if we are not condemned, we have confidence before you, and thus we can come and ask and we receive from you. Because if we are your people, we keep your commandments. We have turned from sin. And we love one another as we even have loved you and believed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Truly, if we have believed, and we do love, and we will live accordingly in our lives, not just for a moment that we look back on for years, but we always look to you. We always look out for the good of our neighbor, loving one another, loving the brethren. And so, Father, we ask that we would keep these two greatest commandments. And that you would enable us to do it by your Spirit working in us. Lord, cause us to believe. If we have believed and continue to believe. And Father, give us confidence before your throne. Even that confidence where you say to approach and command us to come before your throne boldly, that throne of grace, to lift up our requests unto you. May it be so of us. And again, we ask that you would give us assurance of our salvation. Give us that confidence before you. And so humble us before your throne. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.